Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Canadian Gamers. Notice I didn't say the number because I have no idea in hell what it actually is. But today's is going to be completely impromptu. I'm going to just lead our little discussion here and we'll see what happens. Usually when we do these, you can hear the crickets for a little while.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's start with that beta that I was playing of Dragon Quest X. All 16 of you that watched the videos, thanks for watching. I actually was really surprised by that. I don't want to go into all details and regurgitate everything I said in the videos and stuff like that, but I was really surprised. It's essentially an online version of Dragon Quest IX. It's actually, it blows my mind just how similar it is to Dragon Quest IX. And because of that, it's actually a really good game. I wasn't expecting this at all. I didn't think it was going to be crap, but I just thought it was going to be like World of Warcraft or other MMOs. And it's actually not designed like that at all. It's designed as a single-player game, but that just so happens to have a multiplayer side to it. And you can even rent heroes and stuff like that, just like you could in Dragon Quest IX, except what's really neat is that each one of those heroes is a real-life person. They might not play or whatever, but when you log off, you have the option of basically whoring your character out. And when you do that, if other players like take your character, you can actually go ahead and earn gold and earn experience for when you come back, which is kind of neat. I really like that. I think that's really, really cool. So now I'm going to push this to Steven and ask him a question.
Go ahead.
Well, knowing that this, the odds are that this is going to come out in North America, odds are it will only come out on PC. Now, I know that for you is not going to fly, but if this were released on the Wii U, would you check this out?
Of course I would.
Okay, next question, though, okay, before I give open the floor to you is this. Checking it out, by that I mean, you're going to get the game, right? It'll cost whatever, $50-$60. But here's the thing. Would you actually pay a monthly subscription? And what are your overall thoughts on how that would work? And are you even interested in the game and stuff like that? Now, the floor is open to you. Go crazy. More than 3 minutes.
I'll try. Well, I would check it out. By check out, I mean I would buy the game. Oh, man, I'm hearing my voice echoing. This will be annoying. But anyway, I'm going to buy the game, and hopefully, I'm guessing that most MMOs come with a free trial, like give you like a month free or something so you can check it out. And hopefully, during that month, I would have time to beat the game. Because I hate the fact that you pay $60 for a game, and then you have to pay, like, I don't know, $10 every month or something. That's just ridiculous for me. But I'm really interested in that game because Dragon Quest is one of my favorite RPG series out there. And playing that with a buddy must be awesome. I look at your videos, and it seems like a game that probably is boring on your own. But with a friend, would be amazing, and I'd love to play that stuff. But I'm not sure if I would pay $15 a month or whatever it is, unless I'm crazy addicted. I've tried MMOs before, and it never worked for me, so I'm guessing the same would happen there. But the fact that it's in a well-known universe, something that I love, might be a game-changer for me.
Well, you see, that's just it, right? Like, when I played the game, I didn't expect it to be as it is. Like, I thought it was going to be just like your typical MMO, where you take quests and you do them and that's it. And yes, there is a lot of that in the sense of Dragon Quest IX, right? It was the exact same kind of thing, where you could just pick up different things and go and do them. But these quests, it's generic stuff. It's not like, oh, go kill, X monster 15 times. They're actual, like, real quests, where it's like, you know, head out to this cave. I need a certain item that's, like, deep in this cave and whatever. And to do that, I'll give you, say, like, the gloves of this legendary adventure or whatever. And then if you keep progressing, you can get, like, the chest piece, the legs, and stuff like that. But the quests, they're much more intricate than I originally thought. And for me, unfortunately, that makes it quite difficult because of the whole language barrier. But with the real game, I like the fact that it really feels like a Dragon Quest game. Like, I was shocked. I didn't expect that at all. And like you say, with a buddy there, with a friend, well, with you, that would be a blast. We would be laughing our asses off because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, just imagine the fun we're having when we're playing Animal Crossing, which is a game that we've played, like, a lot, and it's basically doing the same repetitive stuff every day. So imagine in a game where there's actually new quests and new tasks to do, how much fun we would have.
Exactly. And not only that, like, one of the things that I would love to take part with you would be the festivities. There's a lot of actual festivities that open up. Like, for example, right now, well, actually, I think it just ended. There was the Star Festival, and that opened up a whole bunch of new, like, side stories. There was new dungeons to explore and stuff, but you could only do this during a limited time while the event was up and running. I love that. I think that's absolutely awesome, and I know MMOs have that in general, but usually it's like, you know, fly all over the world, collecting this item, and then your reward for all of it is basically thanks. And that's it. But with this, it's like you actually get some really useful items. And I don't know. I was like, shit, man, I could see this being quite addictive. Now, just to answer your question, you get 1 month free in the Japanese one, but it's, I'll be really honest here. MMOs in North America and in Europe are really starting to collapse because the market has become completely oversaturated. Ever since World of Warcraft and EverQuest really, well, first with EverQuest, but then with WoW, when it like really took off, there's like 500,000 MMOs now, and even giant MMOs like the Old Republic just have not been able to sustain a pay-to-play service, which, I mean, I understand why you're paying per month. I don't like it, but I understand why they're doing it. It's because these servers and things like that, there's actual people who have to maintain this. Like, mm-hmm. You have to think that if a player at any time has an issue, this is all real-time stuff. They need to be able to ask for help. And you know what I mean? Like, so you have to have call centers set up. You have to have, like, real-life people actually playing the game, knowing what they're talking about, so that if there are bugs that pop up, that the player can just, you know, talk to someone, basically, and get help. It's not like when you play a traditional game where, you know, in theory, all the bugs have been worked out, everything is supposed to be good to go. So it is different, but that said, people are fed up because, let's be honest, you're paying $15. That's the typical price, by the way, is $15. So if you're paying $15 for WoW, then Star Wars The Old Republic comes out. Oh, there you're paying $15 a month for that. Oh, look at that. Here comes Final Fantasy 14. Oh, $15 a month. Suddenly you're at $45 a month. It's like, okay, really? Like, I'm paying more to play these games than I am to watch television. Like, doesn't make any sense to me. And so that market really is dying out. It truly is. And that's why there have been tremendously successful games like Guild Wars, where they've introduced the free-to-play model. So you can play as long as you want, except that if you want perks or vanity items like really sexy-looking armor and things like that, they charge real-world money for it in order to maintain all those services that I said. The only thing that I'm kind of curious is, I don't know how to make Dragon Quest X successful in North America. I just don't know. Because honestly, let's just lay it all out here. Who the hell is going to pay $15 a month to play Dragon Quest X in North America? Really?
Well, just look at the sales for Dragon Quest VIII, one of the best RPGs ever made. Barely cracked 500,000, if it did, in North America. And that was during the PS2's... That was during the golden days of gaming. Back then, there was tons of million sellers. People had, like, PlayStation 2 had, like, a huge install base, and they barely sold 500,000. So why would people be all of a sudden be interested in an MMO here? Even in Japan, it didn't do that well. So I don't see the reasoning behind, like, investing more money into changing the whole game and bringing it here.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's basically it. I think the only reason why they would invest any money at all is because it has been so unsuccessful in Japan. They're basically, I think, anyways, this is just me, but I think they're looking for any way of recouping their the research and development costs. See, that's something else people don't understand. Like Dragon Quest X, that took years. I can see it now. That took years and years and years to develop that game. The odds are that that game was probably in development right around the end of Dragon Quest VIII. Because it's massive. I mean, it's a gargantuan game. And, I mean, that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money. The ultimate question is, why the hell did Square Enix do this? That's what I can't, I just don't understand. Like, to me, MMOs in Japan are not successful. Like, the most successful MMO in history in Japan is Final Fantasy XI, and there was never more than, like, 140,000 people playing it at any given time in Japan, all right? Compare that to, like, World of Warcraft here, where you've got, like, I think at its peak in North America, there was, like, 8 million players playing it simultaneously, paying $15 a month. Now, Final Fantasy XI worldwide is the most successful Final Fantasy game of all time because of the long-term profit MMOs can generate. And so my question is, how did the CEO ever look at Dragon Quest, of all their series, Dragon Quest, and say, yes, that's going to be the one that's going to change Japan, that's going to be the one that's going to be our biggest, like, moneymaker of all time? I don't see it, because, yeah, sure, Dragon Quest is their number one RPG series in terms of popularity, but MMOs aren't popular. That's really being arrogant to assume that, you know, suddenly everyone's going to stop being under the mentality of, you know, why do I have to pay to play, like what you're saying. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And now they're stuck because it didn't do successful, well, it didn't do great in Japan. Yeah, they've got, like, I think it's around, what, how many members? I don't even remember how many. I think it was like it sold 400,000. I think 400,000 subscribers was the most they had or something like that. But is that still valid today? That's the question. And how do you get out of this situation that you're in right now? Like, personally, I think they're screwed. Like, there's no way Dragon Quest X worldwide is suddenly going to be the game that introduces all of the rest of the world to the Dragon Quest franchise. It's never going to happen. Like, Steven, like what you said, Dragon Quest VIII is one of the very best JRPGs ever made, and it even came bundled with a Final Fantasy XII demo, and it still, like, maybe broke 500,000 units. So I don't see any way of recouping the cost, personally. And I'm a Dragon Quest fan. I'm just being realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I don't know what Square were... Well, I don't know what Square were thinking in the past 10 years, honestly, so that's another debate, but I think they've wasted a lot of money now, and they don't want to admit it, and they don't want to say, okay, we've done a huge mistake, let's move on. They just want to try and make that work, and I think they're losing precious time.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, like you say, I mean, ever since the merger, things with that company have been very weird. It's like, I don't really understand what the hell they've been doing. After the PlayStation 1 era, it's like, you know, like they had a couple of early hits on the PlayStation 2, and then they merged, and then that's when, like, everything sort of, I don't know, it just, like, it didn't fall apart, but it's like, I don't know. I really don't know. Anyways, moving on from Dragon Quest. What else can we talk about? Let's see. Pikmin 3 apparently has been doing very well in Japan. Came out a few days ago. And early reports are saying it's selling about as well as, what is it called? New Super Mario Bros. U did. Which is kind of surprising. And they're also saying that it is moving a lot of units in Japan. So, kind of curious. What do you think that's going to, like, sell? Do you think that's actually going to move a lot of units? Or are we going to see, like, 1 week where, you know, a 30,000 spike and then that's it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Was Pikmin typically a good seller in Japan before? Because from what I understand, it's not really selling that well here. It's okay, but it's not like a million seller or anything. So how was it in Japan?
Well, here, you want to laugh? It actually is more successful here than it is in Japan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and you're right. It's not a million selling series. Like, it sells decent, but it's not... I mean, there's a reason there wasn't a Pikmin 3 earlier, if you know what I mean.
Because right now, honestly, you can... Nintendo can release any game whatsoever in the Wii U and will sell a bit because there's nothing for it. I guess maybe that's what I think will happen. Like, we'll see first with maybe second week sales, and then because they're saying it's moving units too. So did we see a big spike in sales on the Wii U last week? Or
well, we won't know until tomorrow. Tomorrow the official numbers are in. It's just that's what like weekly Famitsu and Denjiki Online. That's what they're. They're reporting, but who knows what the actual numbers are going to be.
Well, anyway, me, I don't think it's going to do much. I think we're going to see some units start to move when we see Mario World get released. That will help, but besides that, I don't think Pikmin 3 will do much to bring in new customers.
Yeah, I'm under the same impression. So, next up, what have you been playing lately? What have you been doing?
Well, right now I'm playing Animal Crossing again. I've been playing a lot of 3DS games. I reviewed Code of Princess. Now I'm playing Project Cross Zone. And yeah, that's about it. I'm planning to play a lot of 3DS RPGs. I'm in the mood. What I've really, really been thinking about lately is starting up Dragon Quest V, which is something I've been meaning to do for the longest time now. And I think this is next on my agenda. I think I'm going to put the new releases a bit on the side and go with something I've been meaning to play for a long time.
Which Dragon Quest games have you actually played?
I think the only one I've never played is 3, I think.
Okay.
Or 2 and 3. But I've played them all. I haven't completed them all. Dragon Quest 4, I was pretty close to it, but like you know, I've lost that.
Yeah.
The system, the thing. But my favorite is by far 8, and I really like 6 also, so I know you've played them all, so you can probably put them in an order much better than I can. But.
Well, no, it wasn't even so much for that. I didn't want to get on a conversation of that. I was just curious. 5's good. 5's really good. But like that article that I wrote there, I was kind of curious what you'd think of that. Like, the games did okay here. They didn't do great or anything. Like, the remakes there are 4, 5, and 6. But I've been saying this for a while. Like, I'm in the mood to play Dragon Quest 1 to 3 just because they're not that long. And they're really good games, especially the third one. Third one's badass. But how the hell could Square Enix bring that out here?
Well, if they're already localized, how much money does it cost to bring that Wii version or just upgrade it to the Wii U and bring it here? How much money does it actually cost for them to not make a simple profit on it? And even if it's like a few bucks, at least make a profit, get your franchise out there, get its name, I don't know. Is it really that risky?
To me, I don't see it. I don't understand myself. I mean, the translations were done recently. That's the thing. See, that's the thing that people don't understand with that. A lot of people are always like, well, you know, you got to go back to the NES era. But they don't. They just remastered them for the Game Boy Color in whatever that was. I don't remember how long ago. But they already have the translation. I would love that. That would be so awesome for them to bring that over. That would be absolutely awesome. But I don't know. It's like, it's the sort of situation just like Nintendo. I've been doing a lot of reading on Earthbound lately, and I know I'm doing a tangent here, but whatever. I never knew the real story behind that series, and it's pretty incredible, man. Like, Mother 1, or Earthbound 0, as they classified it, was actually finished. I never knew that.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, like, it was done. It was ready for manufacturing. But the problem was that Nintendo was gearing up to release the Super NES. So Nintendo of America basically said, well, you know, we're going to have to make one of the largest NES cartridges we've ever made. We're going to have to manufacture it with a battery pack. Odds are we're going to have to put, you know, maps and stuff like that, like they did with Dragon Warrior and Final Fantasy. And so, ultimately, Nintendo pulled the plug. Like, right at the last minute, right before Earth... It was actually going to be called Earthbound, which is hilarious. And what's really funny is, while I don't support, like, piracy or anything like that, I will say this. If you want to play the real Nintendo-translated version of the original Mother game, go ahead and download an NES emulator, and if you go to starman.net, you can actually go and get a link to the translation. And it, like I said, it's the real deal. This is not fan translated. It's like the original Nintendo of America translation, which is pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
And anyways, yeah, so I didn't know about that. I thought that was really, really cool. And it's just the only reason I mentioned this is because rumors are saying that Earthbound, the SNES one there, is going to be hitting the virtual console relatively soon, probably.
That one I can't wait for.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, they actually released, like, Mother 1 and Mother 2 on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
And they had a Mother 3. There's three games in this one, and we all only receive the Super NES one, which is called Earthbound, but really it's Earthbound 2 if you think about it. So it's sad that because apparently this is a great franchise. I've never played it. This is one of the games I want to play the most, and it's too bad, especially if they had the full game translated.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And apparently, like, Starman.net was one of the original groups, like, even before the internet was around, where they used to, like, get together and stuff like that. Like, it was a bunch of friends or whatever that were trying to petition Nintendo to release, when they found out that the official translation was done, that they were trying and trying. And one of the very first sites ever was this Starman.net, where they like banded together doing message boards and stuff like that. These guys even went so far as to collect 30,000 signatures, bind them in a book with fan art, fan music. Okay, they included 4 CDs. They sent a copy. Like, it's gorgeous if you see how much money these guys spent of their own money to do this. They sent it to Nintendo of America, Nintendo of Japan, and even to the creator, I forget what his name is, but the creator of the series, and they never heard anything.
No, yeah.
Like, nothing, because they basically were saying, bring Mother 1 and 2 to North America on the Game Boy Advance, because they were like, well, it doesn't make any sense, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you already have the full translation for Mother 1, you've already got the translation for Mother 2, what the hell? Like, it doesn't make any sense why they don't bring it here. And even to this very day, it doesn't add up. Like, Nintendo of America just doesn't have any faith in this series at all. Like, they just don't care. Because Reggie's been asked time and time again, like, you know, you have any plans? And he always like, no, you know, we don't have any plans at this time. And it's like, what the hell? It just doesn't make any sense. The more games we have, the better it is. Especially when you don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird. So, I think that's good. I think we can leave it like that. We've been talking for a good amount of time. You have any closing comments you want to say?
I just paid off my loan in Animal Crossing, man.
Perfect. You hear that, people? I don't hear it. Where's the...
Oh, I should have put it when I did it, but now the bad news is the bastard is charging me $600,000 just to upgrade my basement again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Steven's going to go do. I'm going to go and try and finish Shin Megami Tensei 4, which apparently is a never-ending game. I'm like 30 hours in, and there's no end in sight. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And I guess we will be back hopefully soon. I like doing these. They're fun.
Yeah, so see you guys.
All right, take care, guys. Ciao.